You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that. Thank you for your presence, God. Help us to come to grips with the realities, with the wonderful realities of the world in which we live, and in and because of your saving grace. So we're looking to you to deal with us, our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, and all the other parts of us. God, we get caught up in ourselves, in the system. So God help us. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, remember, we have hit the point in the 3 1/3 year mark where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to leave and go to the cross and be crucified. And the disciples to be the apostles. The disciples are there, and they've spent these 3 1/3 years with him. So therefore, as they've come to the reality, it was very sobering for them to be in this upper room on the last evening before his crucifixion. And all was coming to an end. All that they counted on coming to an end. Crucifixion, maybe prison, maybe death for them. They had made a commitment. They had made an awesome commitment to him. And they were right. Like in John 6, there was no one else to go to. No one else could do a thing to help us. Only God. And here we are, God, looking to you. So, in the upper room, he's going to help them. He's going to help them because he's not going to be with them physically, and therefore he's going to have to help them internally. And in their heart and in their head, they're going to learn and exercise God's wonderful person. That's what they're going to do. In other words, they're going to go from being with God. God is going to be with them. To have an experience of God personally. Not outside, not the teacher outside, the teacher inside. God inside. A unique thing. So that all that God had on the outside, God now brings on the inside. How does he bring it? In his wonderful person. He brings inside the heart all that was outside. And he is God in all of his awesome fullness for the inside. Now, he's helping them. And realities, we're here on planet Earth. And you'll notice as we read and picking up, please, I'm going to go to verse 32 directly. 16:32. Behold, the hour cometh and now is, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, all of them scattered, in one way or another, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. I'm never alone. The only time I'm going to be alone is on the cross in those 3 hours from noon to 3 p.m. And God is going to forsake me in my perfect humanity. And I am going to be alone. I'm going to know what it's like to be unsaved. I'm going to know what it's like to be lost. I know what it's going to be like to be without God for 3 hours. Because the wages of sin is death, and I am going to do that for you. I am going to bear what you can never bear and survive. I am going to do it now. So therefore, he's not alone. So what we're facing, what they're facing, is the world system. And God is going to go and rise again, as you know, and his the testimony of his saving grace that he has risen again is the church, the body of believers gathered together like this in Antioch, Jerusalem, etc., etc. Body of believers gathered together to demonstrate the oneness of the person of Jesus Christ. That's what it's for. And we shared that last time together. That's why you come to church. If you're saved, Christ is going to come to church. He has to come to church. Pastor. That's where he's going to express himself, and it's a body, with all the parts together, like inside of you, all the pieces together. Wow, that's what he's going to do. Now, and we share that so that we don't get confused about it, so we don't say, I do and I don't, and I understand, I don't. No, I just need to understand the person that's saving me, saving you, saving me, belongs together in the body. It's the way it is. Don't make any difference how you feel about it. That's the reality. From God's point of view, not from ours, not from the world, but from God's. Therefore, so God, you're going to say something after all of that. Before you're going to pray, before you pray with them, you're going to say something. What's the last thing you're going to say to us before you pray? Verse 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, these things. Now remember, you read it, among other things. Chapter 16, verse 1, you read these things. And you keep reading them. Verse 2, these things. Verse 3, these things. Verse 4, these things, etc. You're going to keep reading them and reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it. As you go through, these things, you're going to keep reading. Verse 25, these things. That's agreed. Now, why did you tell all those things? So that you'd be able to handle what you're going to have to face, not in your natural humanness, but in God's wonderful saving grace, you're going to need to understand how you're going to succeed and rightly survive in this present evil world. Therefore, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in Christ, not out of Christ, in Christ. Why, I believe Jesus died. That's wonderful, but that we aren't talking about that. We're talking about believers that are going to be found in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Receive him as your Savior. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, in location, where's your location? In Christ. Are you there? You need to understand that now. That's where I am located. That's where you are located. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You might have peace in me. Now, God, so the first thing you're going to tell us in the midst of all the trouble and everything, that in you is peace. That's right. In me is peace. You know, we do it just a little bit to lock it in. Peace, peace, the wonderful, wonderful, complete wellness, wholeness, completeness, well-being, nothing missing, everything in place. Chapter 14, and you'll remember. And I want you, as we do it, it's his peace. So we aren't talking about how you feel or I feel, or a hot peace, whatever that means to somebody. No, we aren't talking about that. We're talking about the peace that God has. That's, we're talking about that. So if you're looking at, you aren't going to find it. You're not going to find it in and of yourself. Chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's my peace, my wonderful, wonderful peace. Now, having said that, peace, go over me just a little bit to lock it in. What kind of peace? God, how does this peace function? Your peace, how does that work? Galatians. Galatians in chapter 1. And you will notice, please, Galatians in chapter 1, verse 3. All the letters, not all the letters, but the letters, each epistle, verse 3, Galatians 1, 3. Grace be to you and peace from whom? From God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, his peace. It's the peace of God. God's wonderful, wonderful peace in its most wonderful way. Being undisturbed. Well, the undisturbed well-being. The absence of strife. The absence of strife. Being in Christ all the while in this world system. Peace. In the middle of the storm. Think of a hurricane again or something. In the middle of the storm, the eye, very calm. Some of you remember hurricanes when we used to have them more so, and when they came up through Connecticut or something, whatever, and you'd have the storm, and then all of a sudden the sun came out and said, wow, the eye. And then it passed. You were in the eye. In the eye of the storm, all around you, but the sun was out. Wow. Now, so, you're going to introduce the letters, and you're going to remind the believers in Galatia and Philippians and Colossians and all, what are you going to do? You're going to remind them of peace. Peace. Why? Because you're in the world, and you need to know that God has given his peace, and he doesn't have any qualms about reminding us, God, and grace be you and peace from God. And you're going to say it again and again and again. That's right. And while you're here, the Spirit of God is going to go and make that peace very, very real. Chapter 5 of Galatians. And in chapter 5 of Galatians, picking up, please, you'll catch it in, if I can, in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. All of the wonderful, wonderful benefits of God's wonderful person are brought to us by God himself, God the Holy Spirit. And he's going to bring to us all of the wonderful benefit of God in Christ. My peace I give unto you. I'm going to bring all of the characteristics, all of the wonderfulness of the God, the person in whose presence we are, to bring the benefits to us so that we have them. In other words, you don't have part of God. You have all of God. You don't have a little bit. You have the, if I can say it clearly, simply, wonderfully, you have God's full attention. God's full attention, as if you were the only one in forever. And you have that. When you received him as your Savior, he took over the domain in here, in your heart. And he brought himself in to bring to us all that we do not have, in no way, shape, or form. So God, are we going to be looking? No. Otherwise, Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then they list them. It's our old nature. No flesh shall glory in his presence. So God, you're going to bring us all of the wonderful benefits of peace. All of them. They're awesome, God. And what's awesome? It's God. Now, God, we want to figure this out. Okay, God, help us. We're adults and we know how to read and write a little bit and count. And so, God, help us. Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, again, verse 2, 1, 2, grace be unto you, and peace from whom? From God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep saying it. Are you enjoying the peace of God? Not your peace, and not how you feel about anything or anyone. Are you enjoying the peace of God? Chapter 4. In chapter 4, picking up, please, verse 6. Be careful. Stop worrying. Be careful for nothing. About in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, be careful. Stop worrying. Don't be worrying and anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Stop worrying. About anything. Carelessly. Careful. Free. Free. To have a concern about anything and everything that you need to. Free. Carelessly. Why? Because all our care belongs to Him. And He's what? It's His peace. Hang on. Be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, God, what are we going to do? Remember now we're talking about prayer, our relationship to God, pray without ceasing, and all of that, looking to God, trusting God, and we're going to do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And you practice thanksgiving, and you practice it not just because we have a holiday. We practice it because God said so. We're going to practice it. And that's how you win. How you win. Do you do it? I don't know. I do it. You do it. You do it more than I do, probably. Thanksgiving. Up the stairs. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's what I do. That's how I go up those stairs. So you want to know. That's so I don't fall down. Thank you. That's how I go up. That's what I do. Do you know what thankful does when you say thankful to God in your heart? Even if you're unsaved, you can say thank you. Even if you're unsaved, you can say thank you. Because God's right where you are, whether you like it or not. Thank you delivers you. It immediately stops whatever you got going. Thank you. You have thought bad thoughts. Thank you, God. And it slows everything down, doesn't it? It helps us. It's a key word to survive because we're going to say thank you. And God, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? Be thanksgiving. Let your request be made. God, thank you. Whatever it is, the condition, the character, think of what we did in the banquet. It was a banquet, the harvest supper, dinner. Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God, whatever it is, thank you. And that slows you down. What does it do? It helps you understand, so you aren't anxious, worried, and caring instead of being carefree. Because God told you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5. Be thankful, okay? What's God? I'm going to be thankful, thankful. Now, what's going to happen? Verse 7. And the peace of God, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God, there's a little word, and the peace that belongs to God, my peace I give unto you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep mount guard upon your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So how are you going to calm down? How are you going to gain control so you aren't getting full of care and anxiety, caught up? How are you going to do that? Thankful. God, thankful. And God is not disturbed about anything, anyone, anywhere in forever, is he? He's not disturbed. He's not upset. He's not disappointed. He's not discouraged. He expects humans to be just human. We're the only ones that get disappointed. God never does. He didn't expect one thing out of one human. That's why he died. There's nothing you can do to recover, to gain your wonderful privilege of knowing me, knowing God as your Savior. Nothing. I had to do it. God did. That's called grace. God had to do it all. And the peace of God passes all understanding. Now, when it passes all understanding, it means you're in the middle of it. But you can say, I don't want to understand. Think of tonight, maybe, understanding. I want to understand. All right? What do you want to understand? Do you want to understand God? I do. Okay. God is infinite. He has no measurements. Everything is in the middle of God. There is nothing in forever outside of God. Everything is in the middle of him. The universe is but a little speck in the middle of God, that God did that. God has no beginning and no end. He has no past, he has no future. He's always present in all of his fullness, everywhere. There's nothing he can't do. Can he ever make a rock that he can't lift? Oh, no. 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 Do you understand God? Do you understand God? No. How are you going to understand his peace? You don't. You enjoy it. Do you understand his love? No. But enjoy it. Exercise it, you see. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Because you can't know it. You can do bathe in it. And we've used to illustrate all kinds of illustrations. It'd be like going out in the Atlantic, since we're next to it. Going out in the Atlantic, out in the middle, out there, and out near somewhere, and out there, and then sit in your rowboat, if you can imagine, a big rowboat, and sit in the big rowboat, and take your bucket, and take a bucket of water, out of the ocean, and notice how it dropped, when you took the bucket out. If you took a battleship full of water out of it, does the ocean change? It's always what? Full. Full, like we did the other night. The basket's always full. You can't diminish from God. You can't take away from God. God doesn't lose a thing in power, wisdom, anything. He's God. You don't understand him. You are to exercise his presence with intelligence and trust him. That's what you're supposed to do. Believe in God. It doesn't say understand God. It says, at first, believe God. Believe. Let God be God. Wow. The peace of God which passes all understanding. So having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 16. He said, my peace. So I reminded ourselves as believers, what about the peace of God? Okay, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, in me, in Christ, you might have peace. That's, it isn't going to be outside of Christ. It isn't outside of your thinking. It's inside, inside the person of Christ. And either you do it or you don't. And if you don't do it, you don't have it. You don't enjoy it. How can I enjoy something if you don't eat it? Etc. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world which we live, in this body, in this world system, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation in this world. Wow. Tribulation. But in me you're going to have peace. And they remember, they're all concerned about the anguish, the heartache, the trouble. We read it in verse 6 of chapter 16. A sorrow hath filled their heart. They're so full of sorrow, they can't put anything else in. Your heart's so full of everything, you can't get anything of God in. So now, verse 33, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In this body, on planet Earth, in this world system, satanic world system, you're going to have tribulation. Okay, how are we going to have that? They already are in it. They need to understand it. Therefore, the word tribulation has to do with to press, to squeeze, to crowd, to compress something, to compress it and take something and squash it in, compress it. Tribulation. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Okay? Anguish. So, God, help us with that. Tribulation. Now, they're going to find it out and write about it. We're able to do that. They weren't. All they could do is hear what he said and then go and experience it later. Now, so here's the tribulation. Sliding over, if I can, Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, and you would recall the church in Antioch, etc. Verse 22, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. Verse 22 of chapter 14, confirming the souls of the disciples, locking them in with much assurance, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, the body of truth that is to be believed, the Bible, and that not only are you going to be confirmed, be strengthened, and you're going to understand, you're going to be believing God's word and what he tells you on how to do things, peace, etc., and that we must through, must, compulsory, we must through, it is required, we must through much, M-U-C-H, tribulation, squeezing, pressure, enter into the kingdom of God. That's the churches. I mean, it's a pig. No, it isn't. You're a foreign entity. You're a lighthouse in a dark world. The troubled sea around you, the troubled sea of the human heart, Isaiah. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace, trouble. They don't want that lighthouse. They don't want that lighthouse. So therefore, you're going to have much tribulation. That's what you're going to have. Tribulation, that's what you're going to be. So why couldn't we just go? You can go out and just watch what you say and watch what you do, and no one will care about what you believe or what you understand or what you say, and you can be absorbed into the sway and swelling of whatever's going on, and just go with the flow. And no one will ever bother you. You'll just be like them. But if you're going to be his, you're going to face much tribulation. 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, may pick up, God, here's the Thessalonians, northern part of Greece. And in the process, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 And I'm going to read verse 5. This is how they were saved. I don't know how you were saved in that sense, but verse 5. For our gospel, the good news, came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The much assurance. They were saved, wonderfully, wonderfully saved, to be saved like that. Years ago, remember, I just remind you of myself, many years ago, when it was different in these United States, people would be convicted of sin, righteousness, they'd get saved, need to be saved, and it was a big thing. And people would, the rescue missions and all of that, and people really get saved. And the Finney, all the different evangelists, Moody and all of them, they get saved. And they get wonderfully saved. And they stopped all the bad stuff. They fixed them, their body, they fixed their face, they fixed their drinking, they fixed everything. And the guy sitting down in the gutter fixed his life up, stopped drinking, went home, started going to work and took care of his family. Fixed his life. Sobering. Now people get saved and they say, I do. I'm not sure how they get saved, if they get saved. I don't know. They say they're saved, maybe. But you'd never know it. Back then, people got saved and you knew it. I mean, man, different. I'm saved. Wow. You see, it was a different day. And we're at the end of the age, so you're not surprised at all. So with much assurance, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word in much affliction, which they did. Well, do I have to believe like that? That's what you got to do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the only way. Having received the word in much affliction, there's your word, with joy of the Holy Ghost, affliction, pressure, squeezing. That's what you did. In other words, you got saved anyway. And if you want to fix your life, if you want to get saved, I'll do it differently. Here we are out in the ocean, make-believe, imagination, and whatever we are for whatever reasons, and people are all around us, more or less, hanging on to the rotting driftwood, hanging on. And there we are, and trying to handle things in among out there in the ocean. And a boat comes by, a big boat, to rescue. And in the process of going to rescue, you offer them the line to come on, leave your driftwood and come on. And it's your family, your friend, your enemies, whatever they are, a little niche that you got going for you that makes your life worthwhile. And you hang on to that little niche, you know, and that's driftwood. And I go and ask, make believe I'm on it. And I ask, are you guys going to go? Oh, no, I'm not going to that big ship. How do I know where that ship's going? How do I know if they'll like me on that ship? They might throw me overboard, I'll have no more driftwood. I'm not leaving my driftwood. No, sir. And I look up, I look at them, I look at the driftwood, and it sort of crumbles. And I look up, and I look at them, and I turn around and grab that line and say, pull me aboard. Why? Because I need to be saved. I know I'm not going to be saved on that piece of driftwood. I know everyone else wants to sit there. But I'm not going to be saved. The system won't save me. I need to be saved. Would you not? How did you get saved? Family, friends, enemy, all the paraphernalia, the stuff around us. All the things. When you come to Christ, Even now, you look to Christ and you have to leave all the stuff that everyone else is caught up into in your heart with thanksgiving, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will mount God in your heart, so that you don't have to get caught up in all of the stuff about the driftwood and the future and how things are going and all of everything. I'm going to look to God to rescue me with thanksgiving. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. And therefore, that's how they got saved. Over to 1 Thessalonians. Over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, remember, not very long thereafter came 2 Thessalonians. And and they're being persecuted. Like in Jerusalem, the Jews are being persecuted. The believers are being persecuted up in northern Greece. They're getting clipped. They're getting clipped up there. Not Jews and Gentiles. No, it's not a good time. It's difficult. But, 2 Thessalonians, remember they got saved. Much tribulation. Chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God. Why? For your patience, bearing up under the load, and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations, with an S, that you endure. It wasn't an easy thing. It was no picnic for them. Verse 5. Watch, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that purpose you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing that God in recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And the word trouble and tribulation, they all go together from the same root. Trouble, tribulation, pressure, squeezing. They're troubled. The world's in trouble. The world's making trouble. And the world's going to be trouble isn't going to go away. And as long as you're in the world and in this body, you're in trouble. And the world is there. And it isn't going to go. Verse 7, again. And to you who are troubled, tribulation, pressure, squeezing, are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Rest with us. Here we are. You're going to have to trust. We're in the world. What did you say, Lord? Verse 60, chapter 16, verse 33. In me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. There's no way for you to stay on earth any longer. No matter, you're going to stay, and you're going to face tribulation. I'm going, said the Lord, but you're going to be here. You're going to represent me in your wonderful. I'm going to see you. And you may be at work, home, school, whatever you do. I'm going to see you as belonging to me. The angels, the good guys and the bad guys, are going to know that you belong to me. They're going to know. The world may not know. People may not know. People may not care. They crucified Christ. They didn't care. So now, here we are looking at all of these wonderful things. Gone, going. So the trouble is there. The trouble's there. The world's going to keep going. Doing and doing what it does in an awesome, awesome way. So in the great tribulation coming, tribulation. So over, if you would, please. Oh, Matthew 24. And in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But, and it's all going to get better. No, it's not going to get better. And so Matthew 24, just to remind us, in the light of the tribulation coming up, tribulation, in the world you're going to have tribulation, squeezing, et cetera, pressure. Then, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, which as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. In other words, it's going to happen only once, a great tribulation, a great You aren't in it yet. You're in the world that's troubled and in trouble, and being in trouble and tribulation. But it hasn't started yet, like it's going to. Great tribulation. Over, if you would please, in the light of that, to Revelation and chapter 2. And in Revelation chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, if I may. Verse 22, behold, church in Thyatira, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. They're gonna face it. And chapter 3, verse 10. Because, Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, bearing up under the load, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which is shall come upon the whole world, to try to test them that dwell upon the earth. Great trial, great trouble to test them. Are you going to turn to God, or are you going to go against God? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in Romans. In Romans, in chapter 5, for a moment. If I do that. How are we going to learn? God, the disciples are going to have to experience to become carelessly careful as they walk down the road of time, but cares not knocking them out. Careless, free as a bird to get down the road, full of care, understanding it, not being stupid about it, understanding it. Chapter 5, God, what did you say? Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have a wonderful, wonderful peace with God. And what's it going to do? Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. So I have to go through it. Uh-huh. That's how you learn. You're in, I told you. You're in the world. There is no place there isn't tribulation. There is no place there isn't discretion. Tell me where politics aren't, apart from the moon. Where the pressures are, competition, all humans doing what they do, everyone struggling. Where is it? Where is it not found? It's wherever we are, us humans. So therefore, God, we're in the world. That's right. God didn't take us out, as we shared in Sunday school. Now, so therefore, verse 3, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And that's how it's going to go. We're going to look to you, God, and you're going to teach us. How am I going to learn it? In tribulation, in the world. How are you going to know the difference between? Well, God is God. He's holy, happy and righteous and heavenly. And God's word is God's word. And everyone in all of this big world, we're spinning around the earth, spinning around the sun. What are we doing? God, in the process of it all, it's in trouble. It's in tribulation. It's not looking to you. The government, even our own government, there is no government looking to you, God. There's no people looking to you. The general population of the world isn't looking to you. They don't care. They don't care at all, God. They're in trouble. They don't mind being in trouble. They're in trouble with you. But that doesn't bother them, even though it's going to lead to great tribulation, a great trouble. And the trouble will be finalized at that point. Wow. Now, God, here we are looking, and we're going to bear patient. We're in the world. So there's nowhere. As long as you're in this body, you're going to have problems. Now, thank God if you don't have too many, but they're coming. If you haven't got them, you're going to get them in some form. I remember a dear lady telling me years ago, don't need to know, years ago, she said, I never have any sickness. And she said that, I remember, bless her heart. And then she got older. And she got older. And boy, did she have trouble. I said, remember how you told me you never had any problems? I said, what do you think now with all of the problems you've got? Wow. You're going to have tribulation in this body, no matter how you cut the cookie, no matter how you do it. In the world, humans are all around us, and they're in trouble the same as we are. And we do what we do as humans. And we have to understand the difference between us humans and God's wonderful grace. So therefore, how are we going to understand it? By trouble, tribulation, all the stuff. Darkness hates light. So when you turn the light on, when you believe, I'm going to believe the Bible, and I'm going to believe that, and then the next thing you know, your heart and mind, in your own heart and mind, go against what you're trying to believe. Did you ever that happen? You want to believe something, and then your mind acts up, and your thinking and circumstances, and goes against what you're trying to believe. Your own tribulation. Well, I know then, God is right, and the tribulation's there. So therefore, I need to really believe and trust the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to keep me. Otherwise, I'm not going to be kept because I can't handle it. It's back to the driftwood. Driftwood isn't going to help me. So therefore, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And therefore, patience, I might as well read it. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in it. I don't know if you glory in it. You would if you start learning from it. You'll start glorying and saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you learn to say thank you for all the dumb things that you do, I do. We do them all by our lonesome. We think them, say them, do them, let alone anybody else. God, thank you. We had to go by that. Now, so God, in verse 3, the tribulation, glory in tribulation. Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And bearing up under the load, where did it come from? Where did I learn to do that? Well, I didn't quit. I didn't back down. I didn't disbelieve. I didn't get all caught up in worry and want and everything else. I got caught up in God, and I hung in there. I made it. I made it through those 5 minutes. And then I make it through another 6 minutes. And I'm learning. I go down, I fall, and I get up another minute, and pretty soon it's 10 minutes. I'm learning. And when it falls, when things fall, and if you want, you're all, not you guys, but I knock things down, I don't mean to do it, and things happen, coffee spills and something spills, and I was trying to do something, and I forgot the rule. It wasn't something I'm used to doing. I did it wrong, and it didn't come out right, etc. So, you know, it just happens, and that's how it is, and I don't care. God, that's it. We're learning patience. No matter what happens, it doesn't disturb us, doesn't touch us. Wow. Now, therefore, and experience, that's experience we're looking at. It produces hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Spirit of God is going to just fill us and encourage us with all of the wonderful things that God. So, God, we didn't get very far. And here we are in the middle of the virus still being exercised and promoted and aggravated to keep it going, to get control and all that stuff. And here we are. So the world isn't getting any easier. obviously it's not going to get any easier. Obviously it's going to get more difficult. So God, Israel, had to believe. And Israel, to the Israelite believer, it happened more than once. The world said, "Where is your God?" And I'll end with that. Where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God? Where is my God? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall take care of all the dumb tribulation you're ever going to face. Our Father and God, we thank you for just a little bit. Help us, please, in all of this, that we might understand and grow and know, God, it isn't hard. It's rather simple. We just have to practice it. And God, if we don't believe you, then we don't honor you. And if we don't honor you, we don't have the benefits of the peace and the power to be able to succeed, to be able to say, thank you, God, from a heart that sees and understands why, God, we owe you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.